It's great to see everyone. Again, welcome to our men's midweek service. This is our last midweek for this month. The sisters are having a great time in their Zoom area, and we're doing our own thing tonight. But tonight, I want to continue with Joseph. There is so much in there that tonight I want to look at another angle about his life and just learn some things. But before I get into Joseph, I want to wish us a happy Black History Month. This is going to be our last midweek. And tonight I want to introduce you to Carter G. Woodson. This is actually, he's called the father of Black History Month. In February of 1926, he launched the celebration of Negro History Week. And so we owe it to him for celebrating Black History Month. The Negro History Week was the precursor, really, for Black History Month. But he was the founder of the Journal of Negro History in 1916. And so we owe Mr. Woodson the privilege of being able to celebrate this awesome month every year as Black people. The making of a man of God. Last month, I talked about Joseph. Again, I want to apologize because I ran through all this stuff in 10 minutes without realizing that I was not even in the room with the brothers. And so I want to do a quick repack. So that we can kind of catch up. We talked about, you know, Joseph was a descendant of Abraham. You know, Abraham, you know the story in the Old Testament, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then Jacob had 12 sons. And one of the sons he had late in life was Joseph. And that's the person we've been studying out. This shows a map of the land distribution back then. At the back of most Bibles, you're going to be able to see that map. Joseph's sons, he had 12 sons, and the land was distributed to them in those areas. And then obviously we started looking at Genesis 37, and we were trying to understand that, you know what, God never allows pain without a purpose. Why was Joseph hated so much by his brothers? We talked about how he had integrity, and because also he was a favorite son. And so we need to be very careful that we don't play favorites with our kids, because you're going to get them not liking each other. And so let's learn from the mistake that Jacob made as a father, and let's not repeat that with our own children. We need to love our kids equally. Talked about how your heritage is not an accident, just like Joseph's wasn't. You know, we need to embrace the life that God has given us, no matter how hard it may be. And then I also spoke about God did not make us make a mistake by choosing Joseph. And as a result, by extension, he didn't make a mistake by choosing us. Very quickly, I talked about the similarities between Joseph and what we see in the life of Jesus Christ. They were both beloved by their father. They were rejected by their own brethren. They were falsely accused and punished. And after that, they were both elevated to a powerful position. Jesus was elevated to the right hand of God after suffering for us. And I made the point last month that even the people who betray us are part of the master plan, okay? God did not make a So let's get it. Tonight. Of suffering. I'm going to talk about that tonight, and that's going to be the lesson. So my question to us is this, even as we begin tonight, you know, hold on a second. I'm sorry. Let me get this thing moving. Okay, here we are. Joseph part 2, excuse me. What to do when mistreated and falsely accused? What do you and I do when people mistreat us and they falsely accuse us? There's a list of mistreatment here that you can see on the screen that Joseph went through. He was hated by his brothers in chapter 37, verse 5. He was sold into slavery. Still chapter 37, verse 28. And then in Genesis 39, he was accused, he was falsely accused of rape by Potiphar's wife. And that landed him back in prison. Again, I don't know if you've ever been falsely accused. You feel really, you know, down and depressed, especially if you don't have the evidence to be able to defend yourself. You know, as a result, Potiphar had him locked back up. And again, while he was in prison, he prospered. And he was forgotten in prison for 2 years in Genesis chapter 40, verse 23. And so the question I want us to ask ourselves tonight is, why does God sometimes allow his loved ones to suffer? Why did God allow Joseph to suffer this way? Brothers, this is a question that a lot of believers have been asking God for answers for centuries. And even some of us today may be having questions, you know, why am I suffering? Why am I going through this? Why am I going through that? You know, people have been asking God that question for a very, very long time. And so tonight I want us to look at how does suffering, injustice, and mistreatment magnify God? How does that happen? Because believe it or not, Joseph was experiencing the same thing, even in the book of Genesis. And the thing about suffering is when you are right in the middle of it, you don't really understand what is going on. That is not the time to try and make sense of all the different things you and I may be experiencing. When he was sold into slavery, he didn't understand what God was doing. Now, later on, he will understand, okay? And the same is true for us. We will never find the answers in the middle of our situations. It's at the end, when we look back, that's where we'll understand clearly the reason for our suffering, whatever it is that we're going through. You and I read this story now, and we're looking backwards. But believe me, when Joseph was going through this stuff, when he was in the middle of it, he didn't really understand what God was doing. Okay? You know, even today, sometimes people say, you know what? There's no God, or I don't believe in God. Because how can a loving God be allowing people to suffer? That's the argument. You know, even right now, as we are still, you know, dealing with this pandemic, some people have expressed there can't be a God. Because, I mean, look at how many people have died. We crossed the 500,000 death mark for COVID on Monday. That's 500,000 people that have died from this virus. And this time last year, exactly this time last year, the number was zero. And the last 12 months, we've lost 500,000 people. And so some people will say, you know what? There's no God. Because a loving God will not sit back and be allowing this to happen. And what I'm hoping tonight is, by the time we're done with this lesson, we'll get a better understanding that, yes, suffering is real, and we'll get a bigger picture of why God sometimes allows us to suffer mistreatment and injustice. And so what does the Bible say about suffering? And we're going to use Joseph's life as an object lesson. Before he became second in command to Pharaoh, he suffered for 13 years, okay? We're introduced to him in Genesis 37 when he was 17, and then by the time he became second in command to Pharaoh in Genesis 41, he was 30 years old. So that's how we know that for 13 years, he was going through all the suffering in terms of being sold into slavery and being accused falsely and being forgotten in prison. 13 years had gone by, all right? So let's talk about reasons for suffering. There are four reasons why we suffer. Number one, every time we violate God's natural law, we are going to suffer. And I'm going to explain that in a second. Number two, we also suffer sometimes because Satan is at work. Number three, we suffer because that suffering is a discipline from God. We sometimes suffer because God is disciplining us, okay? And then finally, we sometimes suffer as Christians to display God's power and God's glory. In other words, where God, through our suffering, is going to bring glory to himself, all right? So let's talk about violating God's law. Violating God's law. You see, this world and our universe, God's creation is governed by natural laws. For example, the law of action and reaction, okay? Where everything that goes up has to come down. That's a natural law. It's called gravity. And if you violate any of those laws, if you violate any of the natural laws, the consequences can be severe. For example, if you go to the top of your apartment building and you say, you know what, I'm a Christian, and you start singing, I believe I can fly. Now, you know what, I'm going to jump off this building and I'm going to fly like a bird. That's not going to happen, okay? If you try that, you're going to end up on the ground, all right? Why? Because you cannot violate God's natural law. You are going to suffer injury, okay? When you violate God's natural law. When you hit the ground, you're going to realize, gravity does exist, okay? And if you brothers would recall, this time last year, after the shutdown and everything, and it wasn't just in America, it was across the world, where we were told to stay indoors and to hunker down. You know, one of the benefits of the lockdown was the fact that the earth was able to breathe again. All of a sudden, people are seeing for miles, mountain ranges that they couldn't see with all the smog. All over the world, people were seeing blue skies. You know, I remember seeing a picture of a town in Scotland where all the billy goats, they came out from the forest and they were roaming the streets. And I remember seeing that picture and I go, okay, that cannot be Africa. Because if that was Africa, all those goats would have been taken and killed and slaughtered and eaten, okay? That I knew very quickly. But it was a very different world, even just 12 months ago, all right? Now, the earth is breathing again. Even the waters around the city of Venice in Italy, all of a sudden people could see fish inside. But you see, the lockdown has helped us a little bit for the earth to breathe some more, all right? There's also the laws of reaping and sowing, where the Bible says it this way, you reap what you sow. You know, when you work hard, you're going to reap the benefits. If you're lazy and you don't do anything, only you will suffer. That's the laws of reaping and sowing. And then there's also the laws of cause and effect. I'm sure you saw this a couple of weeks ago. There was a very nasty accident in Texas, very close to Fort Worth. You know, this is one of the major highways coming into Fort Worth and Dallas, Texas. And, you know, there was this huge pileup. Six people passed away because if you saw the video, there was a trailer coming in the opposite direction and it actually jumped the rail. And all of a sudden, cars coming at that high speed, they couldn't stop fast enough. And by the way, the speed limit in Texas is 65, in some places 70 miles an hour, because it's such a big state. But anyway, you know, if you're speeding, it's going to be very difficult for you to stop. Okay? Somebody violated a natural law, and that's why that accident happened. Let me keep on going here. Number two, sometimes we suffer because Satan is at work. You see, the story of Job is in the Bible for a reason. In Job 1:8 and in Job 2:3, where God said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? Since there is no one on earth like him." And you know the story. If you don't, you need to go study it out. It's very fascinating. Because God gives us the reason why Job was suffering. You know, Satan said to God, "Yeah, does Job love God for nothing? You let me at him, and you see if he's not going to curse you to your face." And the first time, God goes, "Fine, but you can't. Don't kill him. Don't lay a hand on him." And what did Satan do? He went out and he wiped out Job's kids and everything that he had in one day. Satan has powers, but the good thing is, even the powers that he has, he's on a leash. Then he came back again. And now this time, God says, as a matter of fact, you can go at Job now, but you can't kill him. And again, Satan went after him. He did everything else except kill him. And the whole story of Job, if you've ever read it, is about Job wrestling with, why am I suffering? Some of his friends showed up and they said, "Well, you must have sinned against God. Because everything you're going through and losing your family, you must have done something terribly against God." And in the book of Job, you see Job trying to defend himself from his friends, saying, I don't remember anything I've done. Yes, you know, even, okay, let's say I sin, I change, I offer sacrifice, but this suffering that I'm going through, I'm not in sin. And you see, again, even as Christians, that happens a lot when we see people suffering, in our minds, we think, "Oh yeah, they must be insane." That's not necessarily the case. Because in Job's case, he wasn't really in sin. Satan was the one that went after him. Yes, God gave Satan permission to do that. And then Satan went after him and basically wrecked his life. You know, in chapter 1 of Job, Satan destroys and kills his 10 kids. And he destroys his entire livelihood in 24 hours. In chapter 2, he comes back for more. So much so that in chapter 2, Job's wife tells him, "Why don't you curse God and just die?" And Job looks at his wife and says, "You're talking like a foolish woman. Shall we get good from God and not bad?" He says, "You know what? The Lord, naked I came from my mother's womb and naked I will depart. The Lord has given and the Lord has taken away. And so I'm going to praise God." What a remarkable man. You know, and then you fast forward to chapter 42 in Job, where Job said, "I thought I knew you, God, but I didn't." He says, "If anything, I spoke about things I don't really understand." You see, when you and I question God because of the suffering we're going through in the world, it's arrogant. Don't do it. Job did it in chapter 42. And God finally called him to order and said, "You know what? Hush up. Let me tell you who you're dealing with. Let me tell you who I am." And that was when Job made that response. "I thought I knew you, God, but I didn't." He says, "I spoke about things I don't understand." So we got to be very careful that we don't get arrogant with the creator of the universe. Number 3, sometimes we suffer. We undergo suffering because God is disciplining us. We're going to get to that in Hebrews 12, but I'll put the reference up there in a few weeks when we get to that chapter, okay? God is a loving father who sometimes disciplines us. Some of us brothers on the Zoom call tonight, we're parents. And sometimes our kids mess up and we have to discipline them. I was disciplined growing up. Yes, my 2 daughters are Christians. I disciplined them growing up when they messed up. But you see, sometimes the Bible tells us that God will discipline us. God will allow us to go through suffering as a means to discipline us, okay? Would you believe that every time the word suffer is used in the NIV, in the New Testament, it's always referring to Jesus' suffering, every single time. And my Bible tells me that Jesus learned obedience in Hebrews from what he suffered. And so sometimes we undergo discipline. Now, obviously, Jesus didn't suffer because he was a sinner. Jesus suffered because he was a man just like us. And he came into this world to die for our sins. And God allowed him to go through those things. Okay? And guess what? If Jesus suffered, you and I are not going to be any different. If Jesus suffered, you and I will suffer. And it's always amazing how we always look to God for help when we're suffering. You know, when we're going through stuff, somehow it causes us to look upward. It causes us to say, God, I need your help. It causes us to be desperate. And that's a good thing. Where we our suffering needs to drive us towards God, not get us bitter. Some people suffer and they get bitter instead of the suffering thrusting them closer to God. And so I'm asking us tonight, I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know what sufferings you're going through. I'm not sure the challenges that you're dealing with. Could it be, you know, you're just undergoing God's discipline? I remember one time, and this has happened quite a few times, this brother walked up to me. He was a part of our worship leader. He was a wonderful, wonderful brother. Just a solid, mature Christian. And he said, I got fired. I was like, whoa, really? He says, yeah, I lost my job. And I listened and I said, bro, I said, I don't know, understand everything that God is doing. But I said, could it be that God wants you to, you were let go because he has something better for you? I said, I'm going to start praying for you that not only will you get a better job from the one you just lost, but that they'll pay you even more money. You'll make more money. And so we started to pray. And he was praying and going on interviews and everything. And they had really good savings, so he wasn't desperate. A few weeks went by, and one day, you know, we're behind the curtain. We're having our pre-worship meeting, our pre-church meeting, like we always do. And after I dismissed everybody, I said, hey, Richard, I got great news. I said, what's that? He goes, I got a new job. I said, good for you. I said, fantastic. I said, guess what? I'm making more money. I said, I told you. And so sometimes we will suffer because God has something better for us. And that happens a lot. Okay? Like a lot of you know, I'm a cancer survivor. You know, I was diagnosed with aggressive prostate cancer 5 years ago. And right now, I've been cancer-free for the last, I guess, two and a half years now, almost. And I'm very thankful that I'm still here. And I share that because there were times during my struggles with cancer, surgery and radiation and hormone therapy and all that, I didn't think I was going to make it. There were days I would be lying in my bed and going, will I ever get back to, quote-unquote, my normal? Would I ever get back to the energy I used to have and just my health? And here I am in 2021, still cancer-free. I got all my energy back. And all I can do is thank God. But I can tell you that I'm a whole lot more closer to God right now than I was 6 years ago. I just am. And that's why, you know, I like to think that I'm an empathetic person, even before cancer. And going through this, for me, I have a whole lot more empathy for sick people now. Now, I used to have empathy, but I believe God, through my cancer, has caused me now to have more empathy. You know, where if I hear that somebody's sick, you know, I call them up or I'm right there, whatever it is, because I understand what they're going through. And a lot of times God will allow us to suffer so that we can turn around and help other people in their time of need. And it tells us in Hebrews to endure hardship as discipline. And so even as we're still in the middle of this pandemic, and prayerfully, you know, we're going to get out of this, this storm too will pass. The question I want to ask us is, will you survive this pandemic and come out a different person? eventually when we all get out and we're able to see each other face to face and be able to worship together as a body physically in a building, okay? What are you learning? What do you think God is trying to teach you through all this stuff? Okay? What do you think God is teaching you? Even through all this stuff, only you can answer those questions. I encourage you to take some time and to think about such things. I got to keep on going. If God permits the challenge, he will provide the grace to meet it. That's what Max Lucado said about Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. That if God permits the challenge, he will give you the grace to meet that challenge. He always does, because he's that kind of a God. Okay? And then finally, let's talk about suffering to show the power and glory of God. I've given an example here in John chapter 9, verses 1 to 3, that sometimes God allows us to suffer to show his power. Okay? You know the story where this man was born blind, and, you know, Jesus came by, healed him, and his parents were like, wow. So much so that the Pharisees did not want to believe that he had been healed. But the account tells us in John chapter 9 that this happened so that God would glorify himself, so that they will see, man, this was done by the power of God. Okay? So sometimes God allows us to suffer so that he can display his power when it comes to our rescue. You know, March 10th of 2019, there was a plane crash of a Boeing 737 that had just taken off from Addis Ababa in Ethiopia. 157 people were on board and they all died. Just a few months before that, there was also a plane crash, same model plane, a Boeing 737. That one happened in Indonesia, and 190 people died. When Boeing lost another aircraft, this one that happened in Ethiopia, they grounded all the planes because they wanted to find out what the problem was. Believe it or not, there was a gentleman who had gone to Addis Ababa for a conference, and he was headed back to Nairobi. That plane was meant to be going from Addis Ababa back to Nairobi. And he overslept such that by the time he got to the airport, they had closed the flight. Once they closed the flight, they're not going to let you back on, even if the plane is still on the tarmac, because they need several minutes to tidy things up, to determine the manifest, and to determine that everything is all taken care of. So by the time he got to the gate, they had closed the flight. And so they wouldn't let him on. The man was begging, please, I need to get back home. He said, sorry, same flight tomorrow, you can take that. So which meant he had to go back to his hotel, spend the night, and then come back the next day. Within minutes of that plane taking off, obviously it crashed, and everybody died. And so they had the man on the news, and he was trembling. Like, boy, I escaped death. And no, you didn't escape death. God allowed you to oversleep for a reason. In my view, God kept him alive for a reason. And so sometimes, you know, things like that happen and God gets the glory. Okay? God gets the glory. You see, when you and I suffer, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 to 12, it talks about how it causes us to rely on God. It causes us to cry out to God. Okay? There's a reason for what you are experiencing. There's a reason for what I'm experiencing. And as you and I draw closer to God, we're going to find out. Okay? Sometimes as Christians, we suffer financial troubles. Okay? Our world is suffering the effects of climate change right now. Okay? We have tsunamis. We have earthquakes. There's global warming going on. You know, it doesn't snow in Texas. It doesn't. Sometimes we have health challenges, whether it be cancer, you know, we may have parents that have dementia or Alzheimer's. I mean, we have issues. There's injustice. There's mistreatment by others. Sometimes there's violence. And God allows all these things to happen. Christians also suffer. You and I will suffer because we live in a fallen world. This world was perfect when God created it. And then we read Revelation 12 and we begin to understand the reason for all this chaos. Satan tried a coup d'etat up there in heaven. We don't know when. It must have been long, long time ago. And the Bible tells us that Michael and his angels fought against him and they tossed him down to the earth. Obviously, he couldn't fight against God. He couldn't win against God. And says, you know what? I'm going to go after his offspring. No wonder, by the time we get to Genesis 3, Satan shows up and he's talking to Eve. Have you ever wondered that the account tells us that, you know, he was having a conversation with Eve. It appears that the snake back in the Garden of Eden could talk. Eve listens. You know, when the devil shows up and you start talking to him, bad idea. You don't stand there talking to the devil because he's going to lie to you. And that's exactly what he did. He lied to Eve. Say, God is trying to, you know, he knows that if you eat of that forbidden fruit, you're going to become like him. The Bible doesn't tell us it was an apple. We don't know what it is. Okay? Go back and read it. It doesn't say apple. It just says forbidden fruit. But anyway, Eve ate, gave some to Adam. And this world has been a mess ever since. So much so that God now says, okay, because you did this, here are the consequences. And we lost paradise. But the good thing as Christians is there's going to be a new paradise that we're going to experience one day on the other side, the new Jerusalem. You see, God never left Joseph through everything he was going through. In Genesis 39, verse 2, it says, the Lord was with Joseph, and he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. And then he repeats that again in Genesis 39, 21b, the second part of verse 21. And in verse 23, it says, while in prison, the Lord was with him. See, as long as God is with you, as long as God is with me, I can endure anything. I will come out at the end of this suffering a much better person. Okay? Joseph overcame family mistreatment. Joseph overcame being accused falsely. Joseph endured injustices. And get this, brothers, there's no record of bitterness or hatred on Joseph's part for those who had mistreated him or treated him wrong. To me, that's incredible. You know, after he became second in command in Egypt, he didn't go after his brothers. He didn't go after Mr. and Mrs. Potiphar. He didn't go after the chief cupbearer that forgot about him in prison. He didn't. All his suffering didn't cause him to be bitter. That's a huge lesson. Because I know when people mistreat me, when people do stuff against me, I want to hold it against them. And my Bible tells me that if you don't forgive others, God cannot forgive you. After Joseph became second in command, he didn't go back settling scores. He didn't do it. Joseph didn't repay evil with evil. In Romans chapter 12, verse 14, it says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Then it goes on to say, do not repay anyone evil for evil. It goes on to say, do not revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. And then later on in verse 21, it says, it is mine to avenge. This is one of the most challenging passages in the entire New Testament. It says, when people do us wrong, naturally as humans, we want to defend ourselves. We want to fight back. So I'm not going to take this. God said, don't do it like that. You don't repay evil with evil. Do not take revenge, but leave room for God's wrath. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23, talking about Jesus, he says, when they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, watch this, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. This is the example that Jesus wants us to follow. This is the example. This is what I see. Even with Joseph, who came way before the Christ, that we entrust ourselves to God because God judges justly, where we don't retaliate. Where when somebody punches us, we don't punch him back. You see, in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, I need to wrap this up. You know the story. Again, if you don't, or if you haven't read it, you need to go study it out. At the end, the brothers are now in Egypt. They bring in Jacob and everybody. The family settles. They're about 17 number and obviously multiply. And they were going to be in there for like over 400 years. And that's the nation now that God used Moses to bring out from Egypt. Okay? The Bible is very fascinating. And so after Jacob died, his brothers were like, uh-oh, the old man is dead. Jacob is really going to come after us. And they came and they bowed before him and to fulfill the dream he had had, okay? And Joseph said this to his brothers. He says, you intended it to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. You see, Romans 8:28 was my favorite scripture when I was a young Christian 35 years ago. And it simply says, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. It doesn't say in some, it says in all things. That no matter how messed up that situation may look, no matter how much the suffering may be going on, God is going to use it for your good and for my good. And for me, that's very comforting. You see, godly men endure all suffering and entrust themselves to a sovereign God. Again, I want to encourage you to go back and study out the life of Joseph. We're talking about a slave that became the vice president of Egypt. And when you and I read the scriptures, there's hardly any character in the Bible that didn't suffer because we live in a fallen world. Okay? Now, praise God, there's going to be a new paradise on the other side. There's not going to be any sin. There's not going to be any Satan. There's not going to be any shortages. It's going to be tremendous. I'm looking forward to getting there. So how come God doesn't remove all this suffering? Well, he sent his son to die for us so that we can spend a place. We can spend eternity in a place where there's no suffering. It's called heaven. It's on the other side. It's not here. This ain't heaven. I'm so glad this is not heaven. Okay? And Joseph's life and other characters like him in the scriptures that we see, they're meant and recorded in here to inspire us, to cause us not to give up on our own lives and our own experiences. Okay? And I hope this has been helpful. That's what I wanted to share with us tonight as we finish up talking about this great man of God. And God bless. And so I'm going to